Something like that.
Okay.
Let's see if I do any editing there. I doubt it. I don't know. That would be cool if I just do that. Because we have here, being team, not just one, but two men worth one double dollar. We're wanted criminals here. We done bad things in the old West. Like, I have found a way to duplicate double dollars and wanted posters. So I have made a wanted poster of myself and Oscar of a double dollar. What's your crime to get yourself on the wanted poster, Oscar?
Pooped outside.
I pooped outside. Only $1 thing went. He's wanted, but yeah, just he's a notorious pooper outside.
The problem was it wasn't my first time.
So every time you do it, they're going to add another.
I just didn't make it home, okay?
Every time you do it, oh, is that why ours are different? Because, like, I'm one double dollar, you're 17. Every time they catch you, they're like, ah, let's get him one more.
Like Pooper. Yeah.
So, I love it.
This man
to
all done smoke.
Welcome to Burnt Out Coffee. I'm Enrique Rosado. I'm Ryder Rosado. And with me, as always, is Oscar Fernandez at Oscar Farts. And welcome to our big Friday episode. Boop, 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 boop. But Oscar, before we jump into the podcast, every Friday episode, I want to try, well, not every, but like, I want to start implementing something new, Oscar. It's a friend of the show. You've originally shouted out before Necroelectric and everything. And we have a new friend of the show. And I'm gonna tell you who they are, Oscar. They are called Never Knows Best Podcast. But Never Knows Best Podcast is Player One and Mooney. They have conversations about a whole bunch of things. They are available on 10 podcast platforms, more than that, honestly. They're like us. They're on everything. They're on Anchor, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, as well as a whole bunch, because they... You know how it goes, people. If you're on one, you're on all. There are two nerds who love culture, life, and just enjoying getting behind the mic in the air. The thing I like about it, they kind of jump from sports to entertainment, back to like life stuff going on. You get glimpses into their lives. I think you would really enjoy them because it's similar to us. If you enjoy our podcast, you would definitely enjoy theirs because they jump from topics to topics, but it all correlates within what is going on in their life. And I can't recommend them enough. If you want to go check them out, it's at NK Podcast. That is their social on Instagram. Go check it out if you want to see more. They're definitely worth listening to. If you like our stuff, being team, 100% you would like theirs. And it's just like, it's also like a chill vibe, honestly. It's like, I put it on and it felt like a lo-fi vibe meets just talking about like everything I was just interested in. And it was really good to see. So yeah. Check them out. Again, Never Knows Best Podcast. All the platforms we're on. If you're wherever you're listening to us, type that in. You'll find them. Yeah. And you say friend of the show, Oscar, friends of the show. And now to segue you into the main topic. Yeah.
Is it a segue if you say it's a segue?
It is a segue. You know why? It's a segueing us right now. I don't know. Like, I enjoy finding new people and like, it's good when the podcast community kind of like joins in and talks to a whole bunch of other people outside. And it's kind of like, Oscar, a Wild Wild West out here. You have to really work hard to get yourself known, as well as you have to make friends. Yes, Oscar, good segue. You have to make friends out here. It's hard because it's like there's not one gun after you. There's not two guns after you. Oscar, how many guns would you say? How many?
With try?
You could try and give me an answer, Oscar. You can try and give me an answer.
So, three?
We're talking about Trigun, people. We're asking in this episode of Burnt Out Coffee, does it hold up? We're asking, does Trigun hold up? And it's a continuation. It's the final one. Ironically, Trigun, the third one, is Trigun. And our little, I say outlaw, western kind of feel in space. And... to kind of
sci-fi fantasies,
kind of, yeah, mixed with western gun shooters, just a whole bunch of, even though the middle one was a pirate, still counts. We can go on and on about a lot of these, and I'm gonna let Oscar take more of a lead because of two reasons. One, we're both massive fans of the show, we both love the genre, as well as Oscar is the one who actually introduced the show to me. And I did our normal amount of episode watching, but Oscar took the extra initiative into rewatching the entire show.
I watched a good portion of it and then realized I was watching the wrong thing. And we were supposed to be watching Treasure Planet.
Yep.
So I stopped.
I wasn't going to say that, but so yeah, put yourself out.
I 2 weeks to watch the whole show. And it being 26, 28 episodes, it was totally achievable.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Like, I could have knocked it out at the same time, but I don't know. So, Oscar, we're going to tackle the same stuff we normally do. I'll be giving in my two cents as well, but I wanted to let you take more of a lead simply because I'm going to remind everyone right now what we're kind of looking at into the past two episodes, because unless, you know, you're a loyal Bean Team and have heard the last two and have it in your head, then, you know, this is just recovering the same information you already know. But if you're new, here's a little crash course on what we've been doing for the past 3 weeks. We've been watching these Western / basically outlaws in space and have been dissecting them in different mediums. Actually, two of them being anime, one of them being a Disney film. The reason we're doing it, sorry, my voice, is because it's an animation and we're trying to like dissect how did they tackle the Western ideals, the outlaw ideals into a sci-fi setting. And with it, we kind of broke down the key roles of being, you know, they're never from in town. There's a story going on with them of redemption. And it may not be a massive change in their lives. It may not change their status quo, but it at least will change themselves just enough until they get to their quote unquote new town and continue being this outlaw that they were going through, you know, gunslinging action. And going into this, Oscar, I wanted to say, oh my God, this one started off with a trope that I forgot exists. I think we only mentioned in passing once, but Outlaw Star did it. This did it. I don't know if Treasure Planet did it. Technically, you could stretch it, but nah. It started off in a bar. It always starts off in a bar and talking about a wanted person or something like that.
Bar, saloon, whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah, so going into that, Oscar, how did you feel about the overall story of it? Oh, spoilers for Trigun, people.
True, big spoilers. So with Trigun, it's the most Western we've seen thus far.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a few episodes for you to realize that this isn't like a weird anime version of the Wild West, mm-hmm. where it's just like they're just like, you know, America, you know, 1800s. It's actually on a different planet, so you get to the sci-fi a little bit as you go on and go on, and they ease you into it.
Mm-hmm.
So yourself on the planet called Gunsmoke. Already super westerny.
Gunsmoke.
And so the whole premise of the show is that there's a horrible person named Bash the Stampede worth a crap ton of money. $6 billion.
Can we really quickly talk about why sci-fi, I get sci-fi has to create new currency because it creates an immersion of the world. And like, it's kind of egotistical to believe that one currency will extend past space with a new one. But can we talk about how lazy it was? I need to think of a cool sci-fi name for a dollar. What about $2? That's stupid. You're an idiot. Double dollars?
Double dollars?
I'm hearing you. I'm seeing you. I'm agreeing with you. Double dollars.
It was like they're both like making money on the same planet. And it's like, I need my money to be more wanted and more valuable. I'll call it the double dollar. For every one of his, it's worth, no, yeah.
For you got it. Every one of his is my stupid. And you know that dude was pissed. Son of a bitch! No! I'll make mine the triple dollar. Don't be stupid. You can't triple dollar. That doesn't roll off the tongue.
Stupid. That's too much. That, yeah. That'll destroy our very fragile Western economy, which is basically just hostage situations.
I always thought it as a dude accidentally created the first wanted poster, put a dollar, and wasn't paying attention. And he was like, you know, when you accidentally type another thing in, just did another one and went, oh my God, this is the last wanted poster. We don't have a double. What the fuck do I do?
And someone in the background is like, oh man, he's worth double dollars. That's right.
Yes, he is. Just pay him out. Just fucking pay him out. Sorry, continue. I just had to say that.
Vash the Stampede is this murderous gunslinger who destroyed the city of July. And that's sort of the backstory we get. And we have these two insurance ladies going around by their employer to basically find Vash the Stampede in order to be able to observe him and pretty much detail and get information for when there are instances because they're an insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the beginning premise. These two girls looking for Vash the Stampede. And unbeknownst to them, they've met this Vash the Stampede every single time for the first, like, six episodes.
Gets
before
kinda
they
annoying.
Realize it's him.
Yep.
Yeah, because he is this big goofball
mm-hmm.
who really doesn't seem like he knows what's going on around him, very oblivious, but actually he is a very skilled gunslinger.
Ooh, super
But he
skilled.
Does have a very big heart, and he is a very kind man.
Mm-hmm.
World is made of and peace. So
I know you waited for me. I was like, I'm gonna let Oscar finish this. Love and peace. Oscar, there's
same
actually
guy
go ahead.
It's the same guy that does the voice for Ichigo.
Yeah. Okay. What? Real quick. I heard that when I heard him, I was like, Ichigo, what the fuck are you doing here? I never realized they were the same dude. Never realized. But there was actually something you mentioned about his characteristics. He likes love and peace, and they actually have a very strong symbol of that. Oh, I thought you were going to say it. I thought you knew where I was going with it. He had that awkward thought. His gun. what is the special aspect about his gun? I'll just say it. The rubber bullets.
Always rubber bullets.
Huh? What?
Always rubber bullets.
There were no...
No.
Am I thinking of something else? I thought he fired rubber bullets.
He did for one instance, but yeah, it's not always rubber bullets.
No, yeah, I know he's short. He fired... Really? Man. Damn. Am I watching the same show? Did I watch the same show? I always thought... Oh.
These crazy adventures
Oscar, you
in
go
the
ahead,
Wild
take
West.
The lead. I'll just, you know what? I'm just going to be in the background this episode. You do all the talking. I'll just come in with every, I'll be your hype. I'll be your ad lib, dude. Every once in a while, I'll throw in an ad lib. I got you. Go
so
for it.
The whole premise is going through the Wild West, and Dash is pretty much avoiding revealing who he is. Sometimes he does in jest because people don't believe it for his characteristics. Obviously, they mm-hmm. always expect some like big monstrous imposing man. And there's lots of imposters throughout the show and things like that. And then slowly but surely, you start getting into the sci-fi aspects of it. They reveal these things called plants, which are like these giant light bulbs that generate power.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, it turns out, are like extraterrestrial beings. And as you go through the story and you learn more and more, you find out that Vash himself is one of these beings.
Mm-hmm.
He's 131 and he looks like he's 20.
Mm-hmm.
You pretty much go through the whole thing and you find out the main villain of this whole story is actually Vash's brother, Knives. And mm-hmm. basically him going through trying to redeem not only himself, but stopping and finding some sort of redemption in his brother as well. Because at the end of the day, the thing that is always prevalent is Vash never kills.
Mm-hmm.
The show is over. He definitely does, which has... dramatic consequences on his psyche, and it's that's one thing I do give the show. It's just like, oh, I accidentally killed a dude. Oh, well, you know, c'est la vie, moving on. But no, it like affects him for episodes.
Yeah.
So that being said, it's pretty cut and dry. You could literally like take out half the episodes, understand the entire show completely. Like there's a few episodes where it's like the exact same event, but with a different sob story behind it.
Yeah.
In the first few. And I found that out because the manga starts off roughly in the anime episode 5.
Mm.
So you have all these episodes in the anime that kind of build it up to kind of get you into the story.
Yeah.
But you kind of, it feels a little redundant.
Mm, gotcha.
Now, what I always do is the animation. What did you think about the animation?
I thought, honestly, for the time it came out, everything, it was beautiful. Like, even now, to today's standards, Mine is like, my mind just like, it has that old 80s coloring style. You know what I mean? Like, because of how technology was. I thought the animation was really good. It was like smooth, dynamic at times. I thought they're like, looking at the cinematography, basically like how they framed it, it felt very, at times, this is going into a little of the Western. They kind of built it with that in mind, definitely. Even how like they frame some stuff. Like, you always got those looking down the barrel of the gun, kind of that shot where the camera's staring at the person. A good reminder is in the first episode when I forgot the dude's name. He's the guy who shot the gun that rotated. You know what I mean? The ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. No, do you not remember him? Just me. Did we watch the same show? Did I watch Shrek? Did I see?
I remember important characters.
This whole time, you're making me feel like I didn't watch the same show all along. I didn't watch Trigun. I watched Three Gun Law. I'm like, I didn't even know that existed. But no, basically going into the animation, I really enjoyed it. I thought it looked really nice, especially when you look at the movements of the characters. And specifically, this is where it's going to sound weird. The moments they don't show you the movements, I thought they did a good job leading you into realizing what happened. A good example actually coming from the first episode, when they tear up the saloon after the when all the gunmen shoot it up, you don't see Vash react. You see the aftermath of his reaction, how he was able to grab the sign and it fell. And he was like, he covered him. It's like, that is kind of, I wouldn't say like a Western trope, but I think that's just a good action move because it gives the mind more to think about on how did he do it. It gives him more mystery and so forth. But looking at the animation, I think it was beautiful, honestly. Character designs were good, but they were very also 80s anime in the sense of like some characters look the same, but some didn't. I don't know how to describe it. How do you feel?
I think its weaknesses were in the budget, because there were some parts where it was like, especially background characters, their faces were kind of wonky.
Yeah.
Overall, I agree with you. It was super smooth where it needed to be in the action and the movement. I love the perspective of like, you see like down up where he's like spinning the barrel after he loads and things mm-hmm. like that. It gives you like sort of this great tension, dramatic feel. One thing is, this is an action comedy. So every now and again, it does get rubber hosey, Looney Tunesy expressions and the way his arms move and, you know, stuff like that. And it keeps you in the, okay, this is still a comedy. Mm-hmm. It's very few instances where it feels super tense. They usually break it up with a little bit of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And not just jokes, but visually. And that's why I really like the animation. I was like, okay, this is why I remember the show stands out, because it does still make you laugh.
Kind of going into that then, with how you're saying like the portrayal of like the characters and the story and like the construct of it, I want to dive into the topics we've been talking about the whole time. Specifically, the ones we talked about, Outlaw Star. Because in Outlaw Star, it had Western elements. It felt Western, but it wasn't. It was an outlaw story more through. That's how we kind of talked about it. But we kind of like dissected a lot of the Western, America's Western elements. And we talked about how Japan was interpreting it. And you said in the beginning of this episode, which I 100% agree, this show is way more Western than anything we've seen. This one went from, the other ones were using it as a, like, where to grab elements from and made you feel the Western vibe. This one basically said, no, 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 no. This is a Western. This isn't sci-fi Western. And we both talked about, just to give a quick recap for everyone, how Westerns are a very American genre, not because it was created in America, but because it is based on American history. It is the equivalent of
history and culture.
Yep. It was the equivalent of how you mentioned samurai films are based on a specific time period, a specific culture of a specific country's history. So is Western. And it comes with all the good and the bad from the racial, like, tensions and ambiguity. Not ambiguity, what's the word? The word I'm looking for, where they portray someone, but it's not actually how they are, but it becomes a stereotype of it.
A caricature of themselves? I don't know.
That was it. I think it was.
Whether it's a people or...
Yep.
Yeah.
The racial character. Two, actually the elements of what they were trying to craft in what people enjoyed watching, from the lone gunman, the story of an anti-hero, because at the time of our country, that's what we were kind of looking towards. grabbing all that information from the anti-hero to even just how they designed sets to how they filmed and how they construct stories. How do you feel this Japanese animation company down to the manga? Basically, how did this Japanese people equate such an American genre into their property, and how well did you think they did?
It's my same beef with, I don't say beef, but my observation with like Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Like if this was made by Americans, there would be a lot more death. Because
mm-hmm.
in our Westerns, it's like,
ooh, so
children
much.
Are getting slapped, dudes are dying left and right just for just saying a comment and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So in this one, there's surprisingly enough, very little death. Mm-hmm. Until you get towards the very end of the series. And so it's like, it's more zany and wacky, and it has like a lot of little anime tropes.
Mm-hmm.
Like fan service, there really wasn't any. It wasn't around that time where it was like very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Get a lot of it now. But I think they did well. One thing that gives you that good feeling is like, this is set in the far future. Mankind... Mm-hmm. has set off from Earth and is going to seed other worlds. The ships are called seeds themselves. They go there and they have like futuristic, but like, you know, modern clothes that we would attribute to.
Mm-hmm.
But when they live on Gunsmoke, they're wearing old Western attire, whether it's mm-hmm. the neckties, the jackets, the dusters, the boots,
yeah,
hats. Okay. It's all very Western. So you're like, these people landed here and they think it's like the 1800s again.
Mm-hmm.
That was a little perplexing to me as far as like meta knowledge.
That has to do with the environment they're in. Do you think those clothes specifically are specified because of the environment they're in?
It's hot as hell in Texas. Are you going to wear a duster?
If I'm in a dusty part of Texas, maybe. Like I go into a room. Oh, this is dusty.
Wear like a coat or a long sleeve. Sure, that, but like the actual like so much garments and things mm-hmm. like that, and like wearing a suit in July in Central Texas is no joke. So wearing a full blown suit on this hot planet, he's like, why don't they just like t-shirt and some shorts? But that's not the attire of the period, and they wanted to give you sort of that cowboy mm-hmm. Western feel. Mm-hmm. So I think as far as aesthetics and the tropes, you know, whether it's like the train heist and things like that. Whoever was the creative team behind all of this, as far as the original author, like was a fan of Westerns. I think they definitely did a good job in that regard. And sort of adding the sci-fi elements
mm-hmm.
felt a part of the world because it wasn't really explained.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one episode had like a flashback backstory and that was it.
Yeah. So, yes, a lot of very, very solid points about, like, their interpretation of it. There was one thing I wanted to say that I actually want to give the show credit for, and it's something you mentioned. And I think this is going to sound weird because it's the most counteractive point to how Americans design Westerns, but I think it is the reason this show actually works so well as a Western, because they purposely did it. The no killing. I think because of when you look at the protagonist of a Western, when we discussed it, it was a lone gunman, felt like an outsider, which this dude is, to the point he's not even human. The concept of he does not belong, and the fact that he does not kill, the fact he acts so zany and everything, actually takes him as the most literal version, what in our definition, of a Western protagonist, because he does not act like he belongs. He acts so different from everyone else, where everyone's so serious and takes life as dread. He's so happy-go-lucky, just chill, to the point the partner of the insurance providers, the big tall one that has the minigun, she's so positive people see her as weird. And that it's like that mentality is out of it. And the fact you said everyone is so gung-ho. There may not be a lot of death, but I felt like the show captured the mentality of it's all good. Captured, bless you. The mentality of
the bad guys are called the Gung Ho Guns.
Wait, really? Wait, what? Wait, are you fucking with me or are you for real?
Knives is like No, like Nye is the main villain. Like his group of assassins are called the Gung Ho Guns. I'm the sixth Gung Ho Gun.
I didn't fucking remember that. So literally, look, they grabbed, because I get what you're saying about, like, they grabbed a lot of aesthetics from Westerns and not necessarily applied them. But I think this is the one thing they applied that worked really well, is a protagonist that embodies the opposite of what you would expect from a Western. A character who does not kill, that when he does kill, it affects him multiple times. And I know if we've seen this in Westerns, but this one's like, and it's like they understood Westerns enough that they were like, I want to create a character that is the antithesis to what it should be, what you would quote unquote expect from a Western. Because even when you look at Outlaw Star, that dude was, we said he is like a Western protagonist, whereas Vash is a, he is it, but some of his core details are twisted enough that he cannot be at the same time. It's like he doesn't kill, but he is an outsider. He does travel and is a wanted man, but he's wanted for something he actually didn't do.
Not under his control.
Yes. So, like, that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like, now, am I saying the entire show is full Western? It's like Oscar said, they grabbed the coat of paint of Western and put it in a lot. We need a train heist. We need, like, they were, go ahead.
And there's one thing that, like, when you were talking about it, and I was talking about the Gung Ho Guns, there is also a very realization that this Western thing is an American culture, mm-hmm. because one of the Gung Ho Guns, he's a samurai, writes and speaks in some Japanese mm-hmm. from time to time. And like Vash is like doing something, his arm is transforming or whatever to mm-hmm. his angel gun. And the samurai is like, what is this, some sort of Christian magic? So there is like realization that this is a Western culture, this is American culture, and then even this Japanese guy in this fictitious world made by Japanese is still Western American culture.
Oh my god, and how did we not mention one major character that actually embodies something that happened a lot in Westerns? The priest. The literal priest.
Yeah, Wolfwood.
And the religious aspect of a lot of Westerns, because the reason I keep mentioning it is an American genre is because it needs to be known. I'm not saying only Americans should make it. I'm saying it's the equivalent of, if you're going to make something like this, you need to understand the time period at the time. And God, at least in the Wild West, and ironically I use the word God, was it a religious time? It was with the expansion. The whole point of Manifest Destiny is God said this land is ours. Religion was hard.
Out there, kill some Indians, settle the land, make it America.
Make them Christian. This is how life is in America. So the fact that they put, what was his name? Gray Wolfwood?
Wood.
Yeah. The fact that he's a character and literally walks around with, like, I know it may be like, oh, that's just a cool idea to have a giant cross that holds a whole bunch of guns. That's cool. It's also, you can see it. Maybe I'm stretching. Y'all will let me know. BT and let me know. But I feel like it's a good symbolism of how religion at the time was very violent. Literally, the cross that is supposed to represent forgiveness and good is full of weapons. The fact his church is a donation box really goes at the religion is more about money. I'm not speaking about religion now. I'm not trying to go against anyone's religious beliefs. But when you look at it historically, the church back in the time was used as a reason to kill and get money. And Wolfwood
power.
And Wolf really describes that because his cross is full of guns, his church is a donation box, and he was a literal symbol of what in the Western, in a lot of these films, what religion was used as.
I think you're I don't think the creator had that symbolism in mind, even though I do like it. Agree with it. But I think he was just like, you'd be cool if this priest had a machine gun cross.
Like, he has a cross, it's a gun. Yeah. Why? Because he's a priest. What else would he have?
End of the show, Vash will have both the guns and the cross gun, and he will have my gun.
Oh my god, is that it? I forgot he has all three guns because he takes Knives' gun, right? The black gun. And he took Wolf's gun. Is that why he's called Trigun?
It's called Trigun? I hope not, because that's dumb as hell.
I want it to be now. I got one, two, and he goes Zoro, but puts the whole cross in his mouth. Trigun. And just fires.
Now, I'm not going to be the elitist, which I'm not. Yeah. I don't read a lot of manga. I watch a lot more anime. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know, as I was a kid and teenager, I didn't know mangas, a lot of time the story deviated from the anime, or excuse me, the anime deviated from the source material. Mm-hmm. It was like my first interpretation of that was Full Metal Alchemist. Mm, when they talk about Brotherhood, I'm like, what are they big doing? One. Oh, this big follows one, yeah. The manga. And I'm like, oh, okay. And same with Trigun. I mean, not Trigun, Helsing. I'm like, ooh, I loved Helsing. And they're like, Helsing Ultimate. I'm like, okay, this is not the same story. Oh, this is the manga.
Yeah.
The thing I will say is the ending makes more sense, more satisfying in the manga than it is in the anime.
Big spoiler warning, because I want to know, how does it end?
In the anime, Vash, Wolfwood dies. Mm-hmm. Vash goes out to, and he killed, what is his name? It's like something Hispanic. Oh man, I can't remember his name. It's the first kill he actually does in the show.
Yes.
He has to kill this guy. Has to.
Yeah.
Which is surprisingly enough, because the whole anime is him always where you don't have to kill them. But in this one instance, he had to. So anyway, he goes to fight his brother. And his brother's mission is to destroy all of mankind. Mm-hmm. Human beings are scum. Mm-hmm. They all deserve extinction. So, his brother. So they fight it out, just them two duels, you know, shooting each other. Knives is a little more powerful because he actually uses his actual powers. Mm-hmm. That doesn't use his powers, but mm-hmm. Knives does. And because they are plants, that's what they call them in the show, plants. They're these extraterrestrial beings that exude this great power. He created these plants inside the guns, and mm-hmm. when they reach their power, it transforms into a cannon, mm-hmm. capable of great destruction. So, fast forwarding, he's gonna fight. He has both guns. He goes both angel arms, and Vash hears Wolfwood's voice from beyond the grave, shoots him up with the cross gun, kill him, because he doesn't want to kill his brother. He thinks everyone can be redeemed. Knives has spent the last 100 and so many years killing people.
Yeah.
Planning to kill people. And there's no sign of remorse in this character. Mm-hmm. He picks up his brother's arms and legs and like in the gut or something like that. And he takes all the stuff. He leaves the guns behind. Like the ones that transform their arms and angel arms. Mm-hmm. I think he leaves those behind. Takes Knives, and he goes back to the village where Millie and the other insurance girl is, mm-hmm. and all that, and that's where it ends. He's like, I'm going to take care of my brother, like I promised. Mm-hmm. Oh, his brother's going to heal eventually. Show, he gets hit by Vash's cannon arm, the angel gun, once, and it really Fs him up, and it takes him decades to heal fully.
And this is the anime still, right?
Anime.
Yeah. So,
he uses his power to heal himself. Vash doesn't use his power. That's why he's all scarred up. Mm-hmm. Now, it makes sense more in the manga why he doesn't do it.
Oh, why?
It's the anime. So now you have the ending where he defeated his brother, but his brother's still a psycho.
Yeah.
Or killer. And somehow he's going to redeem this character. Mm-hmm. Very hard to think that's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Heal, and then you're going to be in the same cycle again. Felt with the anime's ending. I was happy he didn't kill his brother. I'm happy he thinks everyone can be redeemed, but it's sort of unsatisfying because it's like, no, it's kind of naive. Mm-hmm. The manga, their power is finite. Mm. The more they use their power, their hair goes from golden blonde to black.
Mm, okay.
Use their power. Oh, Vash not using
really powers, any of it. Yeah.
Is blonde, and So when he uses against his will, he uses the angel arm, his hair starts to turn black. Knives uses this power all the time for, you know, fighting, healing, whatever. So his hair is almost all black by the end of the show. Does is he grasp and knowledge and control of his power, he can control other plants, other those extraterrestrial beings, and he creates one giant one, like a living sentient thing, and Vash and the gang have to defeat it. In doing so, Vash almost dies. He has like a sliver of blonde hair left. So after this big battle, Vash and Knives almost die. And they get taken care of by a father and son. There's like a little ranch or whatever, and these guys take care of Vash and Knives. And during that long, because Knives has like no energy left, he can't use his powers anymore, and he'll die. Same thing with Vash; they're at their limits. So part, can't use his powers to heal, so he is now being taken care of by these humans. Sort of as this process goes, he has a change of heart. Humanity realizes what his brother sees in humanity, but he also realizes that he cannot be redeemed. Does is he uses the last of his power to grow the crops in the farmer's field, and creates a big fruit tree. Final thank you for this father and son that were taking care of them. He understands it, but he also doesn't feel like he can be redeemed, and so he dies in that way. So that was a little more satisfying of an end
Than
the
the
series,
try.
yeah.
And I think no better way to end this episode than on that note. Honestly, it was a really good, differentiating from the endings and everything. And yeah, that was this episode of Burnt Out Coffee. I'm Enrique Rosado at Ryder Rosado, and that's Oscar. Oh wait, I forgot to ask the most important question. I'm so dumb. I'm so dumb. Wait, everyone, hold up. Wait. Does it hold up to you, Oscar?
Yeah, that's why I was able to like get through it so fast, because I just wanted to watch the next episode again and again and again. And I was just like, this show's great.
There you go. I think
26,
it
28
holds.
episodes.
Does it work as a Western?
Probably the most Western anime I've ever seen.
There you go, folks. I agree with both statements. So that was this episode of Burnt Out Coffee, and we're gonna leave it with our new two questions. Our first Friday episode after the new setup, too. So this one we always will always keep doing house cleaning. So our two questions we want to leave everyone is first the obvious: do you think Trigun holds up? Do you think it works as a Western? Let us know. And Oscar, what is their second question?
There are lots of Westerns, animes, and sci-fi animes, and things like that.
Sci-fi Westerns outside of
Sci-fi
anime too.
Westerns, yeah, because like Wild Arms and a few others, and it's just like, okay, so we've kind of went a little biased with this series and picked some of our favorites, whether it's Outlaw
Definitely.
Star, Trigun, Treasure Planet's fantastic. What do you all think is the best sci-fi slash Western animes out there? What are your tops? You can either go sci-fi Western, or you can split it up sci-fi and Western.
Definitely. Let us know down below. We really appreciate that. Don't forget to like the episode if you enjoyed listening to it. It really helps us with all podcast analytics, as well as make sure wherever you're listening to this, follow the podcast. Hit the follow or subscribe button. We'll make sure, well, you'll always get updated on what we do. We now update 4 times a week, 3 short little cold brew episodes. In case you missed them, I don't know why you would. We now
Why
do,
would you do that?
we turned our Tuesday episode into 3 shorter episodes that hit on one topic each episode. So that way it's easier to digest going through. But we're keeping the Friday episodes, like you just heard, the exact same way. So make sure to check that out. As well as, I have a webcomic going called Cat Trails. Cat Trails can be found on Webtoon Tapas. Make sure to check it out. It's a sci-fi, almost said Western, just because that's what we're talking about. It is not a Western.
Fantasy.
Sci-fi fantasy story. Make sure to check it out. It is on Webtoon Tapas. Cat Trails, I am really enjoying it. As well as,
Caught up, and I'm enjoying it too.
hey, it's got up. As well as, check out Internet 24. If you're listening to this, wherever you are listening to this, any podcast platform, YouTube, just look up Internet 24. It is there. It is a storytelling anthology series. Make sure to check it out. It's fun. I'm having so much fun working on it. As well as, if I'm correct, if I'm timing this right, this comes out Friday, so tell me if I'm wrong. Will your giveaway be over?
Friday, it will be over, but I will be doing another one.
There you go, people. Go to Oscar's Instagram or on Facebook at FArts on Facebook, or go to Oscar Farts on Instagram. Oscar's hosting giveaways where he's giving out his art, prints, all for free. All you have to do is follow him and follow the instructions. Make sure to check it out. As well as, I want to give one more time, don't forget to check out Never Knows Best, the podcast, as well as wherever you're listening to this. Check out their podcast with Mooney and Player One. They are really, I really do enjoy them, like, legitimately. So I say shout them out. As well as, I think that's all our house cleaning. Would you say so?
I think we're pretty good for right now. So on to bigger and better. Hope everyone likes what we're doing. I love my bean team.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, looking forward to hanging out with this bozo every week.
Don't forget, Oscar, hit him with our famous catchphrase, and I say, we're outie.
And you know what they always say, this world is made of love and peace.
I knew you were going to go with that one. I'm very happy you did, because the one I thought of was much stupider. And stupider is the correct word. Don't forget, kids.
Okay.
Don't forget, kids, don't try gun.
I do this to myself. Like, I expect more, and like
just on the Monday episode, you were like, man, you're a really good writer. I'm really proud of you. And I ended all full circle with with that beautiful joke.
You honestly think puns are funny. I think they're grotesque. So it's just dark humor.
That's the episode, folks.